Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here this morning. I appreciate some of those little nuggets that you shared there, Brother Jeriah, of spiritual growth and some of the other points that you made. Yeah, that one, truth without love kills and love without truth lies. We just appreciated those, the songs and the words that were here already this morning. This morning, I'd like to preach on a message titled, Faithful Unto the End. Faithful Unto the End. I'm sure it's nothing new. I'm sure it's not anything that's maybe so profound in a sense, but I just want to encourage us to be faithful unto the end. Maybe I'll give you a little example here as well. I don't know how many of you have done any short little races or short little running races or something like that. When I was in school, we did some of those things, and I know the world has a lot of those things in Olympics and sports and so forth. But there's a beginning and a finish line. There's a beginning and a finish line, and just like for us, just as an introduction to the message, there has to be a beginning. We can't be faithful unto the end if there's no beginning. There has to be a beginning. The Bible clearly teaches us you must be born again. We have to start by repenting of our sins and being born again before we can be faithful to the end. I want that to be clear. We can't be faithful unto the end unless we're born again, unless our lives, unless we have repented of our sins. If you haven't repented of your sins, this message is not necessarily directed towards you. In a sense, it is, because I want you to go. I want you to stand by the beginning line, the starting line, and I want you to enter into the race. I want you to get this morning. If you haven't entered into the race, you must be born again. You must repent of your sins and be born again, and I want to invite you to do that, to enter into the race. But once you're there, this message is for you, is specifically directed to those of us that have been born again and have repented and have started. You've made that little start. Just the other week, Brother Jaden, he made that first step. And not so long ago, Jared made that first step. And young men, I just want to encourage you, be faithful to the end. Be faithful to the end. You've started. You make that entrance into that. And I trust there's other young men that will follow. And sisters, young ladies. Be faithful unto the end. I'd like to, for starters here as well, maybe I might make a few, just write a few of the points on the board just to help keep you connected with where I'm going here. I just want to impress it upon all of our minds, there has to be a beginning before you can have an end, or before you can be faithful to the end, before that even enters the end. But so be faithful to the end because, and I would like to look at, answer some of those questions, some of that question maybe. Be faithful unto the end because I'd like to answer some of that. If you turn your Bibles to Revelation, there's a number of scriptures there. I'm not going to read all of them, I don't believe. There's a number of scriptures that talk about this. If we go to chapter 2, verse 7, that we're talking about being faithful. We're talking about being faithful, and we want to be faithful because in verse 7, this is one of the reasons, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So we can eat of the tree of life. I don't know if you remember way back in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 there, where God created the earth. Adam and Eve there, they ended up partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then at that point, God said, you know what? We can't have them stay here because there's a tree of life here as well. They may not eat of that tree of life in their condition, because if they would, I think he says that they would live forever. And if I understand right, in that context, they would live forever in the condition that they are. I'm not exactly sure what all that means, but something down to that line. But so God barred them, barred humanity, including us, from that tree of life. But here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, he says, if we overcome, we want to overcome, we want to be faithful unto the end, so that we can eat of the tree of life again. You notice that? He's wanting to restore that again. What he took away from us, what he's barring, shielding us from or keeping us from, he's opening that door again for us to eat of the tree of life again. I believe it starts even here. It's the beginning of that, but in the ultimate fulfillment, I believe it is when we go to heaven and are able to eat of that tree of life. But I think we can have a taste of that in this life. In other words, the life of God coming into us as we turn our hearts over to him. So we want to be faithful because there is a tree of life. Don't you want to have the tree of life? I want to partake of that tree of life. I want to be able to have that. Another reason is there's a crown of life, and we won't be hurt by the second death. Brother Mose had talked a little bit about that, the second death. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, it talks about, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. The crown of life is another reason for us to be faithful. And then also in verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And if we remember, that second death is that eternal damnation, that eternal death. That's the second death. And we don't want to have part of that second death. That's another reason for us to be faithful to the end. So we enter into this race by the new birth, by repenting, by coming to the Lord, and finding forgiveness for sins. But then we be faithful. Why? Because we don't want to taste that that second death. We don't want to. I remember when I was young and I would go to sleep sometimes, and I was worried about that. I was worried about Jesus coming. I was worried about my sins being there, the guilt. And sometimes there was a few times that I dreamed that Jesus came and I wasn't ready. That's an awful experience. That's an awful thing to go through. We don't want to experience that second death. And because of that knowledge of sin in my life, I was afraid of that second death. And it's good for us to be afraid of that second death if we're not living right with God, because that is going to happen to us. We're not ready to die if we are living in sin and if we are not faithful. So we don't want to experience the second death. That's another reason that we want to be faithful. There's another one. I don't think I'll read this one for the sake of time, but there's one in verse 17 talks about the hidden manna. And the white stone, that hidden manna perhaps could be the refreshing word. It could be the refreshing word, maybe just in a practical way for us this morning. The white stone, I'm not sure that I understand that. Maybe some of you other brothers maybe could expound on what is that white stone. He gives that as a reason for us to overcome and a reason for us to be faithful. I'm not sure that I understand that. So afterwards, if you want to give me some, you know, some insight on that, I would love to hear from you. Another one in chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. He talks about power over the nations and so forth. Maybe that's something that you really, that may be good, a reason for you to overcome. It is a reason to overcome, but I don't quite connect with that quite so much. Just to be honest, I don't necessarily look forward to have power over Russia, over Ukraine and China and the U.S. and all those things. I don't desire those things, but I think it's talking about things other than, it must be talking about the power, spiritual power. I don't connect it with the thing of being a president over. I think he's talking about something else there. That power over nations, I believe, is that we are not controlled, maybe, by that. Also in Revelations later on, it does talk about they shall rule over nations. I don't understand that fully, but he says that in Revelation. God tells us that we will rule over nations, and I believe there's something to that. I don't know how that all fits together, but I know that I believe the word, and I take that and for what it is. But it's not something that necessarily it seems so glamorous to me, that part, accepting that we're not subdued by sin and the, these earthly things anymore. That part I can connect with. But this is the word, and if you have something that that stands out to you in these things, feel free to share more on that later. One that stands out to me then is in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. And we're going to go outside of Revelation here soon. I just thought we'd stay in Revelation so you don't have to page so much for a little bit here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 talks about being clothed in white. Now, I don't know what that speaks to you, but that is wonderful to me. That is wonderful to me, being clothed in white. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." That's a beautiful promise to those that are faithful, to those that are faithful to the end, to him that overcometh, the picture that it gives us there, and there's other scriptures that talk about the sins and the iniquities and how those things are a stain on our clothes or a stain on our life. And I know maybe you could put it in our understanding. Maybe we have a reputation, and when our reputation has been marred, in other words, when we have done, when somebody, let's say, Let's just put something really bad out there. You have abused. If I, as an adult, have abused a minor, that would be a terrible blot. If I would have sexually abused a minor, that would be a terrible blot to the name of Christ and to even to my reputation. The beautiful thing about this, what this is talking about, if we repent of those, even those sins, even the worst of sins, even if you've killed someone, that name is there with you right now, but If I understand this right, he that overcometh, he that is faithful to the end, he that has repented, you have to have repented of those things. You have to be born again. And of course, that's just a given there. But but if we're faithful, you will be able to also, with the rest, have a robe that's white. That's not standing between you and God. That's no longer there. A fresh start over. We don't necessarily start over necessarily in heaven, but it's a completely clear slate. It's a completely clear. Everything's clear. White. It's pure. It's beautiful. That's another reason for us to overcome and to be faithful unto the end. Also, verse 12, talks about being a pillar in the temple of God. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of being a pillar in the temple of God. If I'm not thinking of this in a proud way, but I really, you might think this is really strange, but every one of us, I believe, should be pillars in the kingdom, in the temple of God. It's a beautiful thing. It's not a bad thing. I don't think it's a prideful thing for you to desire to be a pillar in the kingdom of God, in the temple of God. It's not a prideful thing, I don't believe, to be a pillar. And that, what does a pillar do? He just silently, a pillar, this pillar over here, underneath, you can't even see it, it's in this, that's behind this wall here, that plastic there, it's standing there just quietly. But it's holding up the structure. It's holding up the temple, would you say? That temple that he's talking about is not an earthly temple. He's talking about the temple of God, and that is, I believe, the kingdom of God, the teachings of God, the gospel, and so forth. It's holding those things up. It's proclaiming those things. It may be silent, but it's there. It's upholding that. In a practical way, you and I can just simply be faithful in the things that we are called to obey. And that may be the way we dress. That may be the way that we respond to one another. That may be in things that we listen to. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself with that, describing that pillar. But just being a pillar is not a proudful thing, I don't think, if you look at it from that term, from that perspective. Not to be necessarily there noticed and to be, you know, wow, I'm this mighty one. But you are just silently. Nobody hardly notices that pillar, excepting the pillar sometimes gets in the way. Maybe bumps into that thing, you know, whatever, that pillar over there underneath that beam there. But and sometimes we maybe look at other people that way. We shouldn't. Because they are very valuable. Pillars in the kingdom of God are very valuable. And so that's another reason to overcome and to be faithful to the end. Another verse that really stood out to me here in Revelation. This is the churches that Jesus was talking to. And he tells them, numerous of them had failed and so forth. But he was telling them reasons for them to overcome. Reasons for them to be faithful to the end. So we want to be faithful to the end because we have fellowship with Jesus. If you go to chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, I believe it is. Yeah. We have fellowship with Jesus. With Jesus or with God, the whole thing together, I believe. So verse 20 and 21 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." So we can have fellowship with Jesus. And there's other verses that talk about that same thing, that he stands at the door and knocks. He's
He's inviting. He wants to do that. He wants to come over for lunch, so to speak. He wants to enter into our heart and have fellowship. And I think even this is even talking about in the future, that Last Supper, when Jesus prophesied that this is the Last Supper, when he ate with the disciples, this is the Last Supper until he would eat with them again in paradise, or after this life. And that I think is also talking, or this one here might also be talking about that great supper of the Lamb in what we're reading here in Revelation. But I think even in this life, though, God wants to have that fellowship with you and I. He would like to come over for lunch, so to speak, over to enjoy a time of fellowship. And that that takes our time. It takes us opening ourselves to him for that. And he desires that fellowship. And I was thinking, as I was meditating on this, I was thinking about that. I know I don't really just have a big longing in my heart to have supper with Biden or with, I don't know, what some other leaders like, I don't even know exactly how to pronounce his name, the one over in China. I think it's Xi, maybe, I'm not sure. XI, I'm not sure how you pronounce that exactly. I don't necessarily desire that, but maybe there's another hero in our walk with the Lord and so forth. Maybe there's somebody else that we really look up to, and we'd like to invite them, or we wish that we could experience the blessing of having them over to our place. And often people that are very much appreciated and can preach well and so forth, they have busy lives, and it's very challenging, very difficult for them to make it to all the homes that they would like to visit. And so you hardly get a chance. But here Jesus is saying, I would like to. I want to. And for those of you that overcome, I'll be at your place. I'll open the door. Or if you open the door, I'll come in. If you open the door, I'll come in. And I'll do this for you. I want to have supper with you. He says, he talks about sup, which that sup would actually be maybe drinking a cup of chai, coffee. You know, it's having that interaction. Fellowship with Jesus, that's another reason for us to overcome and to be faithful to the end. Those that aren't faithful, I just want to say this here, those that aren't faithful, they won't be experiencing any of these things. So we can start, but we can quit here, or here. We won't experience those things. We can start, but we can cut out anywhere. The last day of your life, you can recant. You can turn away. You won't experience that. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We want to be faithful to the end. Another reason, we want to be saved. We want to be saved. That's another reason. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 to 13, it says, "And Jesus answered and saith unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." Keep in mind, this is in the context of being faithful, okay? And the reasons why we would be faithful. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and you shall be hated for of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many of you be offended, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's the phrase I wanted. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So we have all those things happening. But if we want to be saved in all those things, the calamities, the sad situations and so forth that are coming. And I don't think he's just talking about that we would be saved from maybe from damage. And from, I don't think he's talking about that. He's talking about eternal life here. I don't think he's just talking about that your house is going to be protected when the tornado goes around, or when there's a hurricane coming, that you're, for some reason, you're going to just get sucked out of your location and placed in another place. I don't think he's talking about that. And you shall be saved. To him that that shall endure, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. I believe he's talking about a safety, a spiritual safety, that even if you die, you endure to the end, you're going to be saved. Even you're going to see all these things. Be not troubled. Don't be worried about that. Your eternal destination is safe. Your eternal security is safe. I know we hear about eternal security in a negative form. There is an eternal security doctrine that's out there that talks about if you start and if you repent, you give your heart to the Lord, you're born again. It doesn't matter what you do from that point forward, you're safe. And that's not what we are talking about here this morning, eternally saved or eternal security here at all. But you are safe. You are completely safe. You're eternally secure if you endure to the end. Enduring to the end. That's what Jesus tells us here. Also, one last point on concerning the reason why we should be faithful to the end is we want to hear those words, "Come, ye blessed. Come, ye blessed of my Father." In the next chapter of Matthew, if you just turn your page over there, I'm not going to read the whole passage for the sake of time there, but I'm going to read 31, I believe it is, to 34, just the first few verses there. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's the It is an eternal blessing that he is going to put on all those that are faithful unto the end. And of course, later on in that same chapter there, he says what will happen when you're not faithful. There's two destinations. Come to the blessing, come to the to inherit the blessing that God has, or depart. I never want to hear those words, depart, and I trust you never do either. That's one of the reasons why you and I trust, want to be faithful this morning. that's found in verse 41. A little story here, maybe just to connect a little bit with some of this about being faithful to the end. In the 16th century, there was a Protestant reformer in England by the name of Hugh Latimer. I don't know if you've how many of you have read about him. Hugh Latimer. He was known as a great preacher of his day, and as a result, he had many opportunities to speak. Once he found out that he was to preach before King Henry VIII of England, as he thought about his great responsibility to bring a message before the king, he realized that the message that God had laid on his heart was not the message that the king would want to hear. As he began his sermon, he said, "Latimer, Latimer, do you remember that you are speaking before the high and mighty King Henry VIII, who has power to command you to be sent to prison, who can have your head cut off if you please him? Will you not take care and say nothing that will offend royal ears?" He paused and continued, "Latimer, Latimer, do you not remember that you are speaking before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, before him who at whose throne Henry VIII will stand, before him to whom one day you will give an account of yourself? Latimer, Latimer, be faithful to your master and declare all of God's words." Latimer faced the choice. Would he preach what man would want to hear, or would he preach what Christ would have him preach? Latimer did take his stand for truth and preached boldly. Eventually, he was martyred by King Henry's daughter, Queen Mary. And Queen Mary was known as Bloody Mary, for any of you historians. There he was faithful because he saw that there was a reward there waiting for him if he would be faithful. So we have that choice. We have that choice lying before us. Are we going to be faithful to the end? Now I'd like to switch a little bit. How can we be faithful? We can be faithful by being sober in 1 Peter. If we turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, this is how we can do it. So if you want to be faithful, these are some verses for you. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, very familiar verses. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So be sober and be watchful. So that's how we can be faithful. We want to make it all the way to the end. We want to experience what we were talking about earlier. We want to experience eating of the tree of life. We want to experience the crown of life. We want to be able to be clothed in white. We want to be a pillar in the temple of God. We want to have fellowship with Jesus. We want to be saved. We want to hear those words, "Come, ye blessed." We want those things. And we can do that. We can experience that when we're faithful to the end by being sober, being vigilant, being watchful. We're not just going to be careless. We're not just going to be having a silly and a fun time. We're not just going to be out there just for the thrill of life. And we're not just going to be out there filling our life with a whole bunch of foolishness because that is going to, it's going to deter us. It's going to make us not win the race. We're going to lose our direction. We're going to lose where we're going because we are not being watchful. The devil's going to trip us up, and he might say, he might stand up here and he say, "This is a faster way. If you go off to the side right here, you can maybe win the race that way faster and accomplish something for God." But you're not going to if you do that. I would like to just ask you all to stand, if you would, as we read here. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 21. My desire is not to just simply give you facts. I would like to just Yeah, sometimes I don't know exactly how to share things in a way that you can connect. I want you to connect with the message this morning of being faithful to the end, and that you would, that somehow that the desire to be faithful would be so rich, so deep, so gripping to you that the rest of the message here is, this is why, or this is how I can do this, and the reason why is why I'm going to press on. So in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, this is still in, with this being in mind here, be sober, be watchful, that same, with that same thought there. It says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore. That's another word for being vigilant, like we had read about in 1 Peter. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. When we are when we look at these, this verse here where it talks about our hearts being overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, in a nutshell, I'll let you sit down here soon if you're worried about that. I haven't forgotten you all standing here. But that surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, that's filling ourselves with a whole bunch of pleasurable things and things that feel good and things that are enjoyable. I don't think Jesus is saying that we shouldn't have anything that we enjoy in this life. But he's saying this: there's a danger there that if we fill our lives with these things, and that is our pursuit, and that is our thing, that we just need, want to have a bigger vacation next time, or a more enjoyable, more fun vacation, and have a greater blast, and so forth. He says, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. And that means you get too much of that stuff. You're getting too much of that stuff. You're getting drunk with that stuff. And you can be drunk with too much vacations and too much, maybe too glamorous vacations and too much. And you all know where I'm not, by the way, I don't know of any, I don't have anybody in mind when I'm sharing these things. I'm not trying to do that at all. You may be seated if you want to. unless you're struggling with tiredness, sleepiness, I'd encourage you to stand up in the back. That'd be great. But those things, if we're overcharged with those things, we're getting too much. We're getting too much of that. It actually becomes a weight and a snare for us, and it'll trip us up. We can be faithful to the end if we take heed. If we're sober and watchful. If we're careful about these things. We can be faithful to the end. This is how Jesus tells us to watch, therefore. Be careful. Another place he says, watch and pray. There's numerous of those scriptures that are there that he warns us about the dangers. If you remember that parable that Jesus gave of the sower, he went out and sowed by the wayside, and there was putting it in terms that I understand it is somebody's preaching. He's preaching the word. He's sowing the gospel. Here I'm sowing. This morning we're sowing. This morning Jariah was sowing. Some falls by the wayside. Some falls on stony ground. Some falls on ground that has a bunch of thistles and stuff like that growing. And in that story, he uses that story about the thistles and the things that grow up. That parallels right with this one here, where we're talking about that surfeiting and drunkenness. That same idea is there. It's an overmuch of just cares of this life and fun things and so forth. Anyway, so we want to be faithful to the end by being sober and being watchful and being taking heed. Another way, another thing, is for us to be, or for another way, way for us to be faithful to the end is by being awake, waking out of sleep. And I don't mean about sleeping in church. That's not what that's talking about at all. Maybe it might include a little bit of that. I don't think that's what he's referring to. In Romans chapter 13, it's talking about spiritually being awake. I'm just going to shorten it, abbreviate it here, by being awake. So we can be faithful unto the end by being awake, alert, spiritually speaking awake. I know we get tired. We've had a long day yesterday. We've had a long week. We've maybe had a lot of things going on. And our bodies, they do get tired. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about being awake out of sleep, and that we would put away the lethargy, I think you would, I'm not quite sure how to explain it, just the kind of, I'm tired, you've been me it, I'm tired, I'm just kind of, whatever, awake, be alert, because the devil's out there to destroy. And Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 14, it says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. For the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We can very specifically see here that we need to be awake. And actually, there was another point that I... And here he does touch again on the thing of rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife, and envying, the same kind of idea that Jesus is talking about. Casting off the works of darkness, that's one thing how we can be awake, is casting off those works of darkness. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We put on the armor of light, and some of that, to put on the armor of light, is we now become interested in the Word. We now focus on feeding ourselves with the Word, and we purposefully enter into the Word. We put on the armor of light. We do things that cause us to not just have that lethargic, that I don't care attitude. When we sense that, it troubles us. When we sense that I don't care attitude, it troubles us. And it's like, ooh, this is dangerous, this is bad. I feel like I'm not alert. I feel like I'm not, spiritually speaking, I'm just kind of in a daze. And when that feeling is there, it should alarm us, because there's danger. The devil is out there to destroy. Like he says here, he's out there to destroy us. Let us walk honestly, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. Okay, again, and I'm just touching this the surface on some of these things. So this is very, very, maybe not enough of detail spent on some of these subjects here, or on some of these points. Another, maybe just another little story to help us connect a little bit concerning being faithful. I don't think I'm going to read all of it. It's a little bit more of a familiar story, I believe. For those of you who remember Thomas Edison, I know he didn't make or discover how to make the LED light bulb, but the incandescent light bulbs that we have, he spent a lot of time, him and his team, they discovered how to make this light bulb. Now, if I would give you the assignment to go and make a light bulb this morning, how many of you would give up before you would start? You kind of give up before you start. I see a few little sheepish hands kind of wait. Right? I just want, the thing that stood out to me, and maybe for those of you school students that are struggling sometimes with your math problems and your English, your language, and whatever it is, and having a hard time with grades and so forth, you know what Thomas Edison did too? He struggled with those things. Thomas Edison struggled with those things. Now, I know he wasn't necessarily trying to achieve some spiritual height there, but I just want to encourage us with that example of that. I'm just going to read a little bit here. So this was a great man in history, according to a lot of people. Thomas Edison's school career lasted for 3 months. If I understand right, he only lasted in school for 3 months. 3 months, not 3 years, not 8 years, 3 months. He was kind of a dumb guy. I mean, not really, but some thought so. Some thought he was dumb. He actually wasn't as dumb as they thought. And I just want to maybe even just encourage us as parents, maybe if you find yourself, your child struggling, persevere in loving them, persevere. This is just a little side note. Persevere in loving them, persevere in teaching them good, solid principles from the Bible. Be faithful in those things. They may not get the complete big math problems perfect, and they may even never get the concepts completely. But if they have the key principles in life, they can go with them a long ways, can go with them the rest of their life, and actually can make perhaps a great preacher for God, even though they can't do the math problems, even though they can't create something else like that, like Thomas Edison. But just a little encouragement, let's get up and try again. If we're in this race, spiritual race, especially, but even in caring for others, I think of that. That's just a little example of that in Thomas Edison's life. He, in a sense, would have seemed like a worthless little boy. Worthless, you know, barely, not worth much to the world. But he changed the world in many ways, tremendously impacted them. Can you imagine that? Far more important, is, of course, is for us to be influential in the little corner where God has called us to serve, being faithful in the Word, being faithful unto the end. I don't mean to lift up some that you all become, try to become a Thomas Edison and become a hero in this world. I don't want to lift that up. But I do want to lift up just the encouragement, even if you feel like you have nothing to offer, you have something, and that something can be useful in God's kingdom. Be faithful with that little something that God has given you. Be faithful unto the end. So, the last section of my message here this morning is be faithful unto the end. And in what? In where? Where we can be faithful? It's those little things that actually matter. You see that in Thomas Edison's life. Maybe just another story that goes right along with that. There's this story. I think it originates with Richard Steele. Mentioned the story. The title of this story is Making a Straight Path in the Snow. Two boys were playing in the snow one day, and when one said to the other, "Let's see who can make the straightest path in the snow," his companion readily accepted the proposition and started. One boy fixed his eyes on a tree. and walked along without taking his eyes off the object selected. The other boy set his eyes on the tree also. And when he had gone a short distance, he turned around and looked back to see how true his course was. He went a little distance further, and again he looked back over his steps. When they arrived at the stopping place, each halted and looked back. One path was as true as an arrow, while the other ran a little bit zigzag in course. "How did you get your path so true?" asked the boy who had made the crooked steps. "Why," said the other boy, "I just set my eyes on the tree and kept them there until I got to the end, while you stopped and looked back and wandered out of your course." And this is a perfect picture of the Christian life, or as a perfect picture, it's a picture of the Christian life. We must fix our eyes, the eyes of our hope, our trust and faith upon Christ, and never look back. Jesus actually says that if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. If you place your hands on the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And so it's those little things. Here this young man, this boy was making this path and going, but every once in a while he'd look back to check to see how things are coming. In that sense, in the sense of looking back, we can't look back to maybe to judge ourselves in a sense. There is another sense where we do ponder the path of our feet and we let our ways be established. So in that way, I think it's okay for us to look back over our path, our past, and ponder where have we gone. But in this sense of a goal, a vision, a direction that needs to be set, we can't be looking back and readjusting our way to make a straight path, because there's other people that are following as well. I'm going to read a verse here, two verses, and then I'll have you turn to Matthew again, Matthew 24. Luke 16:10, it says, "He that is faithful in the least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is not your own?" That's here he's talking specifically about very little things, earthly things. If you're not faithful in these earthly little things, you're not going to be faithful in the spiritual things. You're not going to be faithful in the kingdom of God either, or you're going to struggle with it at least. And unless you can overcome and recognize, that doesn't mean that none of us have any failures, but I think somehow we need to recognize those things where we fail, and then God can help us. God can give us the ability to, again, be faithful. But I just want to lift that up. We need to be faithful even in the tiny little things, little details of our life, in order for us to be faithful in the bigger things. And turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. You're probably there already. Chapter 24, verse 45. Just a few verses there. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant to whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming," and shall smite his fellow servants to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. this, I don't know if you caught on, this here passage is talking specifically about little things, and I know it was a little bit of a, this passage stood out to me in a little different way this time. When I was studying this, I looked it up in the ESV as well. It might give a little bit more of a sense of what the context or the message was about, where how Jesus was presenting this. Who then is he? This is the ESV version. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? You know, who's that faithful one that's just taking care of the menial tasks in the house? It's just giving him food at the proper time. The household needs supper done, supper ready, and it's just those menial tasks. It's those little things. And then he says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Being faithful in those little things. Being faithful in just caring. And maybe this is specifically for you sisters. You might feel like your tasks, you know, are taken for granted. You might think that nobody notices, but I want you to know that God notices those things, even those little things. And that's also for all of us men as well. Being faithful in the little things. If we're faithful in the little, it can prepare us for greater things. Another area to be faithful in, just really quick, here is in doctrine. Of course, I do not have nearly everything on here that I could have mentioned here, but faithful in doctrine, just one verse that I'd like to just point out. There's others if you want to look it up. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Be careful in what doctrine, what teaching, what you are hearing as being the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Is very important for us. It's a little thing perhaps, but it's those details. We need to also pay attention to doctrine, sound doctrine, that it be sound. There's other scriptures that point us in that way as well. Also in 2 Thessalonians verse 2:15, I'm just going to shorten this. Barely read that, maybe. It talks about traditions which ye have been taught. And it says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And I know the Bible also uses that tradition in a negative form. Jesus talked about tradition, the vain traditions of the scribes and Pharisees. That word is used as well there. In this context, it's used as a positive thing instead of a negative thing. The tradition which ye have been taught, which specifically it means the transmission that is concretely a precept. In other words, it's the principles, the precepts, the doctrine, the word of God. This is the tradition. The precepts that have been given to you. So you stand fast and hold to those things. Don't change on what you believe the Word of God is directing you to walk in. Don't just be wishy-washy, but be faithful. Stand fast. Also in word, I'm going to jump over to the next column here. In word and in deed. So let's be faithful in word and deed. And that's in 1 John 3, verse 18 and 19. 1 John 3. verse 18 and 19. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." when we love in word, and not in word only, but indeed and in truth, that is one way that we can be faithful. Just simply, what we say is what we do. How we express ourselves with our mouth, that's what we do. There's not a disconnection with what I preach over the pulpit with versus how I live. There's not a difference. There shouldn't be any difference there with that, both in word and in deed. That's what he's talking about. And those areas we need to be faithful unto the end, beginning right, starting right, but being faithful to the end, both in all the things that we've said, but in word and in deed. Also, keep thy heart with all diligence. I'd like to just highlight this one a little bit more. This is my last main point here. Keep your heart with all diligence. That's another way that we can be faithful to the end. I'm just going to abbreviate it with keep thy heart. This is, I believe, a very important thing. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. That keeping of the heart with all diligence is very, very important. It's so easy for us to just kind of become careless with that heart, with that precious thing. Forget exactly. Just recently, somebody made some statement to me, and I'm trying to think now how that was. But the thought was, well, I was trying to encourage the person to be careful about something, and then it dawned on me how easy it is. You know, I also try to be careful, but it's easy for me to. Maybe just say those things for others and not do it myself. But then, I told, I think it was one of my children, that I was giving a little bit of instruction on cleaning something. It was on cleaning something, I think, and it was not a reproof or anything that I was giving them. I was just giving them some basic instruction. And when I was sharing that instruction with them, it dawned on me, I want to do that myself. I want to do that. And I just told them, I said, sometimes I forget the importance. And sometimes it hits me again how important that is. And so I have to remind myself how important this thing is. And then I can again be more careful how I do it. And I'm just bringing that out as an example, this whole thing of keeping our heart. I don't think we realize the treasure that you and I have. Your heart is a very, very important thing to protect. All of our hearts is a very, very, very important thing to protect. Keep that heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your life, whatever life is in you, that life, whatever life you have, it is going to be coming out, that part. And so it's very, very important what life, what you put into your heart. And it's very, very important. And I think sometimes we forget. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to just, again, I and me included, like I was saying about that cleaning experience and so forth, we just need to be reminded. We need to do it again. We need to be careful. We need to watch over this thing. In Matthew chapter 12, keeping our heart with all diligence. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. I think I'm going to read that all because I think it's very important for us. Verse 33 to 37, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure, what you've put in there, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure, here's the same thing, the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof at the day of judgment. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. It's so important what we are putting into our heart as a treasure. It's so important what we're doing, and some of the things that we can do. And be faithful in is how what for music you listen to, what for preaching messages you listen to, who you're listening to around break time. Those things are very, very important. That's how you can keep your heart with diligence or not keep your heart with diligence. And it'll make all the difference on whether or not we can be faithful to the end, because it can weaken us or it can strengthen us. It's such a blessing when we hear good things, solid things for us to think on. We hear maybe how a brother overcame a carnal thought, overcame a lustful desire. And maybe it was at break time, and he was just sharing. This thing here struck him, the scripture struck him, and it just was reality. But you doing that, you are building up that treasure, a good treasure. You have a good treasure, and out of that good treasure, it's gonna spill out with your family at home then. It's going to spill out with others that you get in contact with. So it's very important. You get that? You understand that? That whole thing of if we fill our minds with good things, with good music, with good messages, with good conversation, with good fellowship, with good books, then that good thing can also come out. We become excited about that good thing. It will bubble out what we're excited about. And also the opposite is true. If we fill it with bad things, those bad things will slip out. Those bad things will come out. Those bad feelings will come out. Sooner or later, what is the very ugly things are going to be exposed, and we don't want that. We don't want that because that's failure when we do that. When those ugly things come out, that's failure. And we don't want to experience failure. We want to experience success in overcoming and being faithful to the end. So let's be careful about those things that are going into our heart this morning. Let's be careful about those things and guard over it. And the thing is, how do some of those things come into our heart? It's not only by the words we hear. It's not only by hear. That is a huge thing. But it's also even our very thoughts. Our very thoughts. We can generate thoughts based on other thoughts and other things that we've heard. And we can manufacture those things. And so we need to be careful about that, because we can manufacture things after getting a bunch of ingredients together, and it ends up being things that are not good and not wholesome. Or it can be things that are very wholesome and are very good. Brother Dry was talking about love there in 1 Corinthians 13. Love isn't puffed up. Love doesn't behave itself unseemly. And when that is our concentration, when that is our focus, when that is our what we're feasting on, and we're taking that in, that will also be the fruit. That will also be that will come out, and it will help us to be faithful all the way through to the end. All the way through to the end. Keep thy heart with all diligence. I think I'm going to skip over these few verses. Matthew 15, 18 to 20. It talks about some of these things that defile men. I'm not going to read that, I don't think, but if you have time, you can read those things. Jesus is continuing that discussion there about defiling, what defiles a man, what doesn't. Also in James 1:14-15 talks about, and maybe just make a little comment here about that, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. If we want to be faithful to the end, we're going to be careful about this thing about our heart, because if we let our minds and our heart and our ears and all those things be fed with wrong things, wrong desires, you know what? It's going to become a lust. It's going to become a desire in us for more of those things. And if we're feeding on those things, we're not going to be strong enough. We're not going to be strong enough when the temptation comes. So let's be careful about, we want to be faithful to the end. We want to endure to the end. We want to, because we want to experience, not just experience, we want to have this, these things to be reality in our life. Now, things that we can experience now, but then also in life to come. And in the end, come ye blessed. That's what I want. That's what I trust you want. That's where we all would like to go. Something that stood out to me in this study is, in this race of life, all those who are faithful, all the way to the finish line, win the prize. If Marcus can get there faster than I, fine, he can win. But if I'm faithful to the end, I can win too. It's a little different than the other races that I used to run in school. The first one and the second one and the third one were the only ones that got anything. The rest, you know, just got kind of lost. But here in this race of life, if we're faithful to the end, all of us, each one of us, can experience, if we're faithful to the end, we can experience the blessing of winning that prize. And that's there for us. Just another little side note that has come to my mind in light of this subject. Here a couple years ago, I was blessed by a brother that came to visit here. I think it was back in 2016. I hadn't seen him. I'm not sure exactly, but my mind would say that I probably didn't see him for nearly 20 years. I'm not sure. I won't mention his name because this is being recorded, and I don't want to put him on the spot, but it blessed me tremendously. Some of you will probably connect who this is. I hadn't seen him for probably 20 years. It was before he was married, before I was married, and then in around 2016, 2017, he came to this area to visit and to do a little bit of checking about building some barns and so forth, and we were invited over to a brother's house here because he was here and he knew us from years before and wanted to connect a little bit. And anyway, it was just such a refreshing blessing to see that young man that I knew 20 years before that, roughly 20-ish years before that, as a single brother, and he was continuing in faith, continuing with the Lord. There's many others that I knew in that same time frame. They are no longer in the faith. They're no longer there. But he was faithful. And very practically speaking, he and now his new wife, well, new wife, no, he wasn't new wife anymore because, I mean, he had been married for a while by the time I had met him. But he and his wife were continuing to dress modestly, much as they had before. His wife still covered her hair much the same way, fully covered. And they were on fire for the things of God, had interest in the things of God. But I was talking about faithfulness. You see that? I'm talking about faithfulness. That is such an encouragement to me. When you young men, you young people, 20 years from now, I don't know what life will bring in our path. Our paths completely separated for a long time, this young man and I. But we reconnected, and it's such a blessing to see him being faithful and God being faithful in his life. And anyway, just want to encourage, give that as a word of encouragement to be faithful unto the end. May the Lord bless you and add his blessing.